And we thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if you had an open source debit credit database, a financial transactions database that you can just do a transplant into the switch. You could have like a central bank switch for the whole developing world. And here's the database to power that. And you just write a little bit of API code around it. And there you go, you know, and you can power a country. And I thought personally, like, this technology is too valuable not to be open source.
Hey, this is Brian, and you're listening to Jamstack Radio, a bi-weekly series where we discuss modern web development with maintainers, founders, and developers. Jamstack Radio is brought to you by HeavyBit, the leading investor in developer-first startups. For more information, visit HeavyBit.com. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic, find us on Twitter, at Jamstack Radio.
Welcome to the installment of Jamstack Radio. On the line, we've got Jaron for Tiger Beetle. How you doing?
Hey, Brian. So great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Like, we've been going back and forth in email. We've had a couple conversations and got connected through D's. So super happy to make that connection. I've actually heard of Tiger Beetle for a while now, at least 6 months, and was happy to get that introduction. Why don't you introduce us to who you are and how you got here?
I'm the founder, CEO of Tiger Beetle, and a self-taught coder. So I looked over people's shoulders, you know, as the 286 was unboxed, my father, my sister setting it up, and people later, you know, coding and looked over their shoulders. So I got into BASIC, and that was the beginning of hitting my head against the wall many times and learning perseverance. And yeah, and then I became a staff engineer at one point, and founder and CEO of Tiger Beetle.
Excellent. I know you have South African background. Are you in South Africa today?
So there's a saying, I love databases so much, I live next to Table Mountain. And that is true for me. So I live in Cape Town, South Africa still. I was just pretty lucky. I was playing five-a-side soccer on the AstroTurf and bumped into someone working for a startup in the Bay Area. They had an office in Cape Town. And so I got involved with that. And that eventually led to Tiger Beetle.
Yeah, excellent. So I'd love to find out like the sort of origin story of Tiger Beetle and like what prompted you to build this company, because it's actually rather unique in a bunch of different ways, like your decisions to use Rust and Zig, I'm super intrigued about, but also even the problem you're looking to solve. So like supporting financial institutions and their databases. So what's the origin of this interest?
Yeah, so Tiger Beetle is a financial transactions database. Normally databases give you SQL transactions, and then they always say, well, you get asset so that Alice can pay Bob. But the debit credit primitives for Alice to pay Bob are not in most databases. So Tiger Beetle is a financial transactions database. So like Alice can pay Bob and you debit credit, you know, in Tiger Beetle out of the box, like in your Node.js client, don't have to write SQL, get a very nice like API to do that. Just pure debit credit is exactly what you need if you're fintech or if you're just any kind of business and you want to record your business transactions and you want a debit credit schema, which is a very nice way to do it. So origin story was I bumped into Coil, a very cool startup in the Valley. It was founded by Stefan Thomas, who was the CTO of Ripple and was kind of more interested with Coil in exploring real like existing payment systems. How do you connect them all that you can send money from your bank to a digital wallet or to a mobile network in Africa somewhere, and then from there on. So the Interledger protocol, how, you know, what the internet did for home networks. I grew up playing Doom 2 or Duke Nukem over serial cable before the internet existed. And my story is very much like growing up with the internet, like that first CompuServe modem that was covered in wetsuit. And then how that connects. So the internet made a network of networks, but in the payments world, currently today, everybody is their own network. So Bitcoin will say, come and join our network and we'll solve global payments, you know. And Ethereum will say that, and the banks, you have their own networks, and there's Swift, and it's all networks and networks and networks, but where is the internet of networks? So this was the vision for Coil, is the Interledger protocol modeled on the internet protocol. And how can we send money as if we send email, like agnostic of whatever technology it is, whether it's old or new, you know. So I joined Coil as a consultant, and they were partnering with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation on an open source payment switch for Asia, Africa, developing countries to run. And open source, so you can like give people access. A few billion people in the world are actually excluded from the financial markets. There's no way, no ATM in their town. They don't have a bank account. How do they, everything is cash. So they walk kilometers or miles just to, you know, send money home. They have to put it in a suitcase, take it on the bus sometimes. So the idea was like, everybody has a cell phone. How can people use their cell phone to send money back home? And you start to do that, you save people time and you can lift people above the critical poverty line. That was what Gates Foundation are doing with the Merge Loop Switch and open source. So Coil were partnering basically to connect this switch with Interledger protocol. So now you're connecting the whole world, network of networks, bringing internet ideas into this very old world of payments. And then straight away, this is the thing you realize is that with the internet scale, now, you know, before it was like Doom 2, serial cable, two computers. Internet comes along, massively multiplayer online games. Like the scale, it just explodes.
Yeah.
The same thing happens with payments. So this was what the Merge Loop Switch was looking at. It's like, how do we now handle this performance? I came on, increased the performance of the switch. And then I looked at the switch and I saw, again, you know, every SQL database is promising ACID so that Alice can pay Bob. And so the switch was building around MySQL and they had the whole, there's many people working on this and they were trying to do debit credit. And we thought, well, wouldn't it be nice, like if you had an open source debit credit database, a financial transactions database that you can just do a transplant into the switch, kind of like Ruby on Rails was extracted out of Basecamp, a real world problem. You could see like, wouldn't it be nice if you could spin up a blog, you know, in 15 minutes or 5 minutes? And we were like, well, wouldn't it be nice if you could have like a central bank switch for the whole developing world? And here's the database to power that. And you just write a little bit of API code around it. And there you go, you know, and you can power a country. And we make this open source so that like fintechs can use it and bigger companies can use it, you know, Airbnb or Uber or whatever, tracking rides or bookings or whenever there's like a business transaction, let's just give them the database to power that first class. So that's the origin story, I guess. Just realizing that, you know, we build these things around a general purpose database. It's kind of like building a car with an engine. But what if you had like the car out of the box and it's Formula One just designed for this? It's, you know, purpose-built for transactions processing. I think this is the funny thing. People will know this term OLTP, and we use it. You know, we say online transactions processing, and in the same sentence, we say general purpose database. But actually, there's a bit of a mismatch. You know, from general purpose to transactions processing, there's so much work you got to do. So we're like, well, what if we were like, just think of like, what do you need for transactions processing? It's debit, credit. Can model any kind of business transaction, financial transaction. So it's not only payments, you know, you could do financial accounting for money or even just counting. Like how do we count? Okay, let's say we're building a serverless startup. We need to track usage of our API. How do we count usage that isn't MapReduce billing, you know, log scraping every 15 minutes? How can we do that in real time so that our users can have real time spend caps or we can give them like instant visibility into their serverless usage spend? And as soon as you start looking at that, things become, again, so transactional. You know, you're moving from like billing once a month or every 15 minutes to every second, your number of transactions again goes up. So that's the Tiger Beetle, kind of the dream is like, let's do OLTP open source for the future. That's highly scalable, you know.
And what was the decision for going open source? Because when I think finance and I think like fintechs, like there's a lot of secret sauce sort of trying to make sure that no one's sort of building the same thing. And you also mentioned like with banks and like ledgers,
yeah,
everyone has their own. So having an opportunity to build on your own database through Tiger Beetle, like why open source that?
Yes, great question. So I guess like, I think Kafka wouldn't have been the same if it was proprietary. I think that, you know, the most popular general purpose databases are, all three are on the podium, are open source. But for me, it was more of a personal reason. So I loved ZFS and I was always so sad, you know, ZFS, the file system, I was always so sad that the license in my eyes, you know, wasn't. I love MIT and Apache too because they allow people to build businesses on top of them. I think they're really free like that. So I was always sad that ZFS didn't have that, and it never really got adoption because people couldn't use it. I was basically going to switch to FreeBSD at one point just to use ZFS. So, and I thought with Tiger Beetle, what we were going to do, it's a distributed database. It's got consensus. It's got, you know, normally you run MySQL and it's single node, or Postgres, it's single node. There's no automated failover. And Tiger Beetle has all these things. You know, you run a cluster, it's a single binary, you run it on a few machines, and you can't take this thing down. You know, you can corrupt the disk. It's like ZFS, it self-heals. It's got all this cool stuff that I always wanted from my database. And I thought personally, like, this technology is too valuable not to be open source, because I wouldn't want to work on this if I don't know it's going to be around in 10 years as open source. Because this is the thing with Tiger Beetle. You can take the financial transactions business logic out. It's very much inspired by Ruby on Rails. You know, you can build any kind of database with Tiger Beetle. It's actually a database framework like Rails. It's open source. We haven't packaged that framework up yet. So at the moment you see Basecamp, but actually there is a Ruby on Rails like database framework in there that you can create, you know, all kinds of databases in 15 minutes. This is the vision. So again, like learning from the web.
Yeah, this is interesting, because before we hit record, we were talking about like this like cyclical nature of the web, and interesting to hear like your sort of doomed to origin story of like growing up with the internet, because I'm slightly younger than you are, so I was a bit younger trying to run Doom 2 and Wolfenstein and Duke Nukem and stuff like that. But I figured it out, and I'm also here because of that. I think the being able to look back in the past and take like basically remix or take samples of things that worked, I'm super intrigued by this framework that Tiger Beetle is like sitting on top of. I'm also curious about like the business model for the product. So you have a package solution, it sounds like, today. Are you now going to institutions in Africa to support getting onto, basically, I was going to say get on the internet, but basically get connected into a network so then make it easier for folks to make transactions, as you were sort of explaining?
Yeah, so Tiger Beetle is a US company. Most of the team are in the US, but we also see ourselves as, you know, global remote. And the reason for that is so that we're always kind of, we want to serve everybody, like not Africa only, not Europe, not Asia, like America and everywhere. So we've been very intentional about, we have two of the team are in Brazil, South America, some are in Europe, some are in Cape Town, some are in the US. We're not yet in Asia, that'll come. But the idea is that we're a distributed database built by a distributed organization. So the Gates Foundation are now integrating Tiger Beetle into the switch, and that switch is going around the world into all over. People in Latin America are interested, in Africa and Asia and India. And that switch is open source. So if Tiger Beetle wasn't open source, it wouldn't be touring along.
Yeah.
So it has to be. And actually, I think this was kind of my own journey. Was there was a point where I realized, wow, we could build a financial transactions database that could be 1,000 times faster than if you built over general purpose, because we designed for the whole problem. But the second big step in the journey as a founder was realizing open source and business are orthogonal. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking they are competing, or there's a point that you naturally switch, you know, you pull the rug. And I always get upset when I see that, because I think it's so sad. People don't understand that business model and open source are orthogonal. So usually you see people damaging trust when the business isn't going well. And that's really like when you don't want to do that, like you actually want to look at why is the business not going well. Usually there's other reasons. You know, if you look at the IPO, they've been sliding for years. You know, this isn't not, and then this is the sad thing is that the CEO, whoever, will make open source the scapegoat, and everybody believes it. And I think, no, it's just there's other reasons there. And,
yeah,
you know, drama was made out of open source, but actually the business is the problem. So I think this is the thing that I realized is, and it's a big relief, is that open source and business are orthogonal. And then the other lesson I learned was that the best business is built on trust. So especially if you're tracking financial transactions, why should people trust Tiger Beetle as the database. And it's because it should be 10 times safer than anything else. Because, you know, the alternative is general purpose database with 10,000 lines of JavaScript code. And I've spent 10 years in the JavaScript world, but it's not necessarily the language you want for a finance, you know, if you do a DIY financial transactions database. So trust is everything. And I think we realized that open source actually is how you build trust. And it's how you keep trust. That's why you stay open source.
Yeah.
But in this business especially, it's trust, trust. That's what we sell, is that we've built Tiger Beetle. We took no shortcuts. People can see that in the technology, in the way we built it, which we could go into, you know, all the design decisions. It all comes down to trust. Two things I learned quickly is just that there's a lot of startups, they will say open source is great. It's too expensive. Who's going to run it for me? A lot of big enterprise companies will say open source is nice, but it's too cheap. Who can I pay for the helicopter contract when things break? Or who can advise, or who can save my developers time around this? That, you know, they've got people to deploy it, but they still want to pay for insurance to sleep well, or just for expertise. And again, it comes down to trust. So who do startups trust to run it for them? Open source is too expensive. And then for enterprise, open source is too cheap. So you can build a business around it. And just as long as you're confident, you know, that trust is really where it's at.
Yeah. And I wanted to touch on, because you mentioned Ruby on Rails a few times and like how amazing that's been. But you made a technical decision to use, well, one, Tiger Beetle is like its own standalone database. So like, we're not talking Postgres extensions here. Like you're opting into Tiger Beetle. But the other thing is you made the decision to use Rust and Zig, which I think are both cutting edge languages.
Oh, just a correction. So we don't actually use Rust. We use 100% Zig.
Okay.
But we do say to other people, like, look, it's Rust and Zig. And, you know, for some projects, pick Rust. So Matt Clad, who wrote Rust Analyzers, on the Tiger Beetle team. And yeah, we've got some other people, you know, working with us contracting who are like very senior in Rust. So, but we don't actually use any Rust.
I appreciate the correction too as well. So then my question now is like, why Zig?
Why not Rust?
Yeah, I've been following Zig for like since its earliest days, and it's been saying like, I think Bun is the other project I could think of that has Zig in production. So I guess the question is like, is there friction? Like, how are you hiring folks and getting them on board to then do Zig? There's probably an easy answer. It's like, we just hire the best developers and they can learn on the job. But how's the experience of Zig been?
Oh, great. Thanks. So again, it kind of comes down to business and trust. Like, there were so many good business reasons to pick Zig. I think this will surprise people. And again, from Rails, I realized, well, need to do WebSockets, need to get into Node.js. Like the day Rheindahl launched it and I can use, I was doing a Rhino on the VM because I was convinced server-side JavaScript. And it kind of, everything I learned for Tiger, so why Zig is because of JavaScript. So I spent 10 years Node.js ecosystem. I loved it. I learned so much. I also saw the stuff that, you know, like Ryan wrote 10 regrets about Node. I had a few as well. So, you know, Node would just dynamically allocate. There was no way to pass a buffer so that you could do a TCP receive into an existing buffer. You know, I would sometimes run into 2-minute GC pauses in production, things like that. And then NPM dependency explosion. I actually did come to appreciate like strong typing and just the ability to work with the hardware, like unlock the power of the machine. And there was this yearning to do that. And I could never do that in Node. But C was always such a mission. You know, I started getting into C, so I wrote a lot of like native add-ons for Node in C. And then I also realized, okay, this is the stuff that I don't like with C that they could really fix. Obviously, it's like walking cliffs of Dover blindfold. You never know when you're going to fall off because there's no fences anywhere with C. You just, nothing is defined. So it's extremely dangerous, but there's this yearning to work with a machine. You know, I've been a high-level developer for, you know, for so long. And so Zig came around and I started following it in 2018. For 2 years, Tiger Beetle was 2020 when we started, July 2020. So for 2 years, I'd been following Zig. I'd been following Rust too. And when Ryan Dahl wrote that post, you know, 10 regrets for Node, I said, well, maybe here's, you can avoid some regrets for Dino. The backend was Go at the time. I said, well, maybe we don't want two GCs. What about Rust? So he actually did rewrite Dino in Rust. which I was so excited about Rust at the time. And then I saw Zig, and Zig kind of just hit the sweet spot. So like, how do you do static memory allocation? Like, how do you just not even have manual memory management in C? Like, just, I don't even want to call malloc or free because of this experience with Node.js. Is like, how do you build rock solid APIs where you know the explicit limit of everything your program can do? Like, how do you build a box that is shaped as if you're doing engineering in the real world, you can have physical constraints. This is, I think, always the thing that plagues software is we're in the movie Inception. We can do these amazing things, but we don't have enough physical constraints. So I was thinking, like, how can we know exactly we're going to support maximum 128 database clients and give them so much memory for their TCP receive buffer, send buffer, and everything? We're going to make it so simple and have limits on everything. Because this was kind of my reaction against Node. You know, I ran so far from Node that I went past manual memory management all the way to static allocation. And you can do that in C, but actually Zig was so much better because here, the standard lib, you could pass, bring your own allocator, you know? And Rust had a global allocator and you couldn't handle memory allocation failure. So for a database, that was like almost an instant showstopper at the time in 2020, you know? Out of memory, you have to handle that as a database. You can't just global panic. So Rust was ruled out. Then it was going to be C or Zig. And then finally, here was a language with Zig where you had amazing, it was, you can like, if you're a Node developer, you can spend a day and then you're writing Zig and you're compiling a binary so easily. There's none of that pain. You know, you can cross compile something from Linux to Windows and ship people binaries that are like a few kilobytes compared to like a 10 meg node binary. Actually, Zig makes like systems programming accessible to all of us JavaScript developers. And so kind of that was the other reason is I saw Zig was such a simple language, read like TypeScript. You know, Rust takes like a long time to master. Zig, you can be very good in a month. And obviously there's a lot to learn. You have to be careful. In Tiger Beetle, we do static memory allocation. So we have less of the need for the borrow checker. We single threaded for performance reasons. So again, less need for borrow checker. But this was the other thing, you know, that coming back to the payment switch, they were all in JavaScript. And we realized, well, this reads like TypeScript. So they're going to like this because they're going to understand Tiger Beetle. And so business wide, it made sense. It also made sense for hiring because it's so easy to pick up, you know, 2 days. So when people join Tiger Beetle, we never even help them out onboarding into Zig. It's just like,
really?
By the time they start, they've already learned the language. So that's a big advantage. I think Zig is really going to accelerate quickly as a language because it's just so easy to pick up. And, you know, we wrote some prototype for Tiger Beetle in JavaScript. At some point, we switched to Zig because it was quicker. So you get this amazing developer velocity. And because it's kind of like surfing, I think, you know, you can find technology moves in waves. So you can find the wave where you see thousands of people riding it, but you don't get marketing benefit. There's no tailwind because drop in the ocean. Or you can look ahead, you know, to the backline and you see the swell forming like Node.js. You know, so many people early there, Guillermo Rauch, they went on to do amazing things. And I learned that with Node and I always kicked myself that I never... you know, never did that. And so when Zig came around again, I was like, well, I'm not going to miss it this time. Now's the time, paddle out, bet on it in 2020, and we're 2024, and it made me so happy even than I could have imagined. You know, like, Zig is just, just really, really performing there, and it's just been a great choice. So, and even now, it's still early. So,
yeah,
I know startup founders, they're starting to pick it. But it really, I would say to people, go and bet on Zig because it's a great language, depending on what you need to build, of course, but it made it quicker for Tiger Beetle. And it's been better for safety, better for performance. Zig is actually amazingly high quality compared to, you know, other runtimes. Zig just is very high standard. So, you know, it's pre-1.0 because they want to do language changes. But for us, in terms of stability and quality, the compiler is really top-notch, so, which is what we look for, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated by this because I think folks who are first to the gate on a successful language that has all these benefits the benefit is that you guys are open source. So folks who watch this trajectory of like how Tiger Beetle is sort of growing. I recently did a talk at Open UK and you commented on that in email because I mentioned that Tiger Beetle, like the engagement as far as like contributions and stuff like that, they're lower than other projects, but they're also earlier than other projects when it comes to the ecosystem, when it comes to Zig. So I'll definitely be paying attention to this and sharing some insights, stuff like that. I've been tweeting an insight a day on my Twitter, and hopefully I'll use Tiger Beetle as a case study in the future. But I did want to transition us to the picks. So I appreciate you sharing about the founder journey, Tiger Beetle and yourself, sort of being early for quite a few different things, including Doom 2. And that gives us a good segue to transition to the picks. So these are things that we're jamming on. Could be music, could be food, could be tech related. And if you don't mind, I'll go first. I've got actually two picks. First pick is actually the BlackBerry movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I never owned a BlackBerry. It was like, I was still in high school and college by the time it had its sort of turn up. But I definitely watched that. And like when I took my first role professionally in 2008, I think I joined the professional world. BlackBerry was definitely 100% still a thing. We saw the iPhone come out around like the year prior and it completely changed the way that scope looked like. But fascinating story and journey of founders starting a thing early, building on top of this internet that's out there. So I don't know what it was called, the protocol, but 2G.
It was like the Force, you know, that they were building on.
Yeah.
This like spectrum that they discovered and they call it the Force.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. So I don't know. Did you ever own a BlackBerry?
I didn't, but yeah, watching the movie and that moment where they see the iPhone unveiled.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for them. Like, oh, wow, this is how technology moves in waves.
Yeah, this definitely is. And like, you don't want to be on the other side of that curve. So build your products in Zig is the TLDR. I did have another pick, which is like more of a personal pick, which is since November, I've been basically limiting my sugar intake to 25 grams per day. And then I do exercise every day. So like, I no longer have a therapist. I've got to actually find a new therapist. So my stress management is go to the gym before I do emails. And that has actually turned into 22 pounds down. So I don't know what that's in kilos. Someone does the math. You can tweet at me, whatever the conversion is. But I can't do that live. But yeah, so this one of the shout out that's been actually driving just like decisions and quality of life, but also running a business on top of that. Being super focused on like what sort of fuel I put in my body actually helps me perform better when it comes to work. So
yeah,
that's my other pick and that's what I'm jamming on. You have any picks for us?
Yeah. So thanks. That was so cool to hear about the BlackBerry movie. I loved it, you know. And I think in there, I love that scene how they always have movie nights and it's like the heart of their culture.
Yeah.
And then I think someone starts to kill movie nights and things, you know, things go wrong.
That's funny now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is kind of the thing with Tiger Beetle. We you know, coming from the gaming genre, you know, good luck, have fun. We say build trust, have fun. Because I think this is the thing. People think at some point you wear a suit and become serious to build trust, like you have to drop your don't be evil motto. But actually, people trust you when you have fun, when they see you're human as well, like you're just a real person. And that is so important, you know, to building real relationships, keeping it real, like have fun. So one of the things we love to do, our equivalent movie night, is we have what we call Tiger Tracks. So we do weekly releases of Tiger Beetle, and every release there's a change log and we drop a little Tiger Track in. So like you read the change log, unlock a Tiger Track, but internally as a team, we just listen to so much music. I actually almost I would have either become a full-time musician or coding. And I realized I code better than I sing. So I write code better.
Yeah, I mean, keep the dream alive. There's always open mics build up the muscle memory again.
Yeah, so this is actually our t-shirt, you know, it's the Tiger Band, but the rock on sign. That's our music heritage so much in Tiger Beetle.
That's amazing. I love that having this bits of culture. We actually did a pizza tour in New York because our product is opensauce.pizza.
Yeah.
It also is opensauce.com, but yeah, we've done pizza tours in a few different places. And yeah, it's like not everybody eats pizza. So like we do expand. We'll be expanding differently in the next offsite, but no one's lactose intolerant on the team.
I would so love to join one of those tours. And I'm in New York soon. Maybe we must catch up.
Yeah. We just did a pizza party with a few founders and devs in Portland. So I think we might keep that going along. So when we have team doing like a conference or whatnot, we'll organize a pizza party in the future. But I'll let you know when we're near a city.
Oh, please. Favorite spot in New York for pizza?
I did really enjoy Joe's, which is kind of like a staple, but also it's kind of like the, what is it, the Philly cheesesteak, like the Philadelphia folks don't like those cheesesteaks that everyone gets recommended. So Joe's is that one. I did enjoy Prince Pizza, which is the Sicilian square pizza. Amazing stuff. So Prince Pizza, probably the best.
Okay.
Which is like not a very like Italian New York style pizza, but I'm a millennial, so I'd say that one.
Awesome. I'm going to go get open source at Prince Pizza, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for the conversation.
Oh, thanks so much.
And listeners, keep spreading the jam.
That's all we have time for today. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic, find us on Twitter, at Jamstack Radio. This show is brought to you by Heavybit, the leading investor in developer-first startups. To learn more about Heavybit, visit heavybit.com.